Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Your Friday, start up your weekend right here on a Bud Light Football Friday with a lot of conversations in this hour. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian in our coach's corner. Start talking about fixing the defensive issues, what the plan and the goals have been in practice this week. Also the O-line shakeup, Oklahoma State stingy defense. We'll hear from Sark coming up. Also hear from Joel Klatt, Fox broadcaster, former Colorado quarterback, the lead analyst on Fox TV. Now, on the college side, Joel will be with us coming up at 7:45. He'll be on this game tomorrow, along with Gus Johnson and the crew. So we'll get Joel's thoughts. He's been in Austin this week, talking to the coaches and players. And we played yesterday his interview with Bijan Robinson, part of a show he does, which was really good. And he declared that Bijan Robinson's the best running back in all of college football. And I don't know if anybody's going to disagree with that, Buck. But as we just heard from Ari Temkin last hour, he's one of a lot of really good running backs in this conference this year, and the Longhorns got to figure out how to stop running backs if they're going to achieve the goals that they seek.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do that Saturday morning, and they're going to have to do that a lot from this point on. Everybody's running backs is kind of playing pretty well, all the way down to the Baylor Bears running back there. Everybody's getting it's going to the kind of ground and pound a little bit, and then the play action pass, and the defenses have gotten a little bit better. Maybe it's just this given year for the Big 12, but they're playing pretty decent defense all over, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really the face of the conference has changed. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. What was a, you know, high-flying Patrick Mahomes, Lincoln Riley, 50, 60 points a game kind of conference has turned into more of a ground and pound, slow it down, play some good defense, and that really starts. And Oklahoma State used to be right. One of those teams playing 60 to 55 games on a weekly basis. Now they're playing 20 to 17 kind of games and 23-20.
And they're not running as many plays either. They're not trying to, you know, used to jump up to the line, let's go as quick as we can, run as many plays as we can. And people are kind of slowing that down. They're playing defense where they don't want you to get behind them to make the big play. They want everything out in front. They want the clock to run. They want to have fast games. They don't want to try to get out to these crazy leads and then give the ball back to the other offenses.
No doubt. And that was part of last week for Texas. They faced, 85 plays on defense because of the quick scores that they were getting on offense and just the way the game went. You wonder if that takes a toll this week for the Longhorns. We'll hear from Sark coming up and Joel Klatt this hour. Buck, the B&E factor of the day, paying that off. It was heroics last night for Cody Bellinger and the Dodgers. His single, RBI single in the ninth, broke a 1-1 tie. Dodgers beat the Giants 2-1. It was cool to see Max Scherzer come out of the bullpen and close that thing down, get his first career save. He's a Hall of Famer as well. But Bellinger's third career go-ahead hit in the ninth inning of a postseason game, ninth inning or later, tying him with Big Poppy.
Yes.
Big Poppy of the Red Sox. Pete Rose.
Yes.
The big of the Phillies and Reds. J.D. Drew. That would be a surprise for a lot of people. The J.D. Drew and then Carlos Correa.
Now, Correa just did that recently the last time, did he not? I mean, when he was on fire.
He's been an absolute clutch hitting machine, including just the other night and Tuesday in Chicago. It was early. It was in the third inning. But
I still think they're going to pay him when it's all said and done.
I am highly skeptical that they're going to, because he wants $300 million. Astros aren't giving him $300 million.
If they win the championship, they're going to give him the money.
Well, with that in mind, let's get to our headlines because the Astros' hopes of a championship took a blow yesterday. Let's get you details and get you the rest of the sports headlines. UBO Business Services brings it to you. We'll start with the baseball. We just mentioned it. The Dodgers beat the Giants last night in that matchup of 110-win teams. Dodgers win it 2-1. They're on to face the Braves in the NLCS. That series will start tomorrow. Game one in Atlanta. Game one of the ALCS is tonight in Houston. Astros hosting the Boston Red Sox. But terrible news for Houston yesterday. Their staff ace pitcher Lance McCullers not going to pitch in this series and likely done for the postseason. Right-hander came up with some forearm tightness after his start on Tuesday in Game 4 of the Divisional Series. He's had Tommy John surgery in the past, so the Astros are going to be very, very careful. Left-hander Framber Valdez will move to the top of the Houston rotation and get the ball tonight. Luis Garcia, the rookie, will get the ball in game two. Texas football now just over 27 hours and change to the Longhorns' first game at DKR in 3 weeks as they will host the 12th-ranked and undefeated Oklahoma State Cowboys. Last night, head coach Steve Sarkisian and quarterbacks coach A.J. Milwee were in New Orleans, Louisiana, on the sidelines to watch Arch Manning, the nation's number one overall prospect for 2023. His team had a game against St. Charles Catholic. 6'4", 220-pounder is the nephew of Peyton and Eli, of course, is expected to be at the Texas game tomorrow as part of a major recruiting weekend for the Horns. As for the game tomorrow, after practice yesterday, Coach Sark clear that the Horns clearly understand what the challenge is for them tomorrow.
Oklahoma State's a very good football team, well-coached, tough, hard-nosed team, make you earn it. And so we needed a quality a week of work, which I think we were able to get done this week.
11 a.m. tomorrow, you'll hear it right here on the Horn, of course. Gregory Jim last night, top-ranked Texas volleyball team, no trouble with TCU. They win that one in straight sets. They improved to 14-0. Also, NFL Week 6 opened last night in Philadelphia. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers improved to 5-1 with a 28-22 win over the Eagles. Brady threw a pair of touchdowns. Leonard Fournette ran for a couple, and the Bucs opened up a 28-7 lead in that game, held on as the Eagles made a comeback. The Eagles fall to 2-4 with the loss. Full slate of NFL action this Sunday, including the Cowboys. They're in New England, 3:25 Sunday afternoon right here on the Horn.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Specs text line. Is this out of the realm of possibility that I'm thinking that, is this the time where you think about, without Jordan Whittington, that Hudson Card could go play slot and do some things? He obviously knows where the plays, he knows the motions, he knows where the receivers are going to be and what all those position at receivers do. I mean, or is that just asking for a problem?
I don't think they're going to put their backup quarterback at receiver.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Is that asking for a real problem?
I think that would undercut the development of a guy like Marcus Washington, who they like. I mean, these are young receivers who've been playing receiver and, you know, being a part of this. I think the next man up mentality has to.
Is he the next man up if something happens to one of them? That's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, if you continue to take injuries, if Washington, I mean, the next guy, yeah, I think that could be down the road. But just with one injury, I don't think so.
Okay.
Would be my guess, but plus he's your backup quarterback.
Well, that's the part more than anything is that you can't take a chance on having your backup quarterback get hurt as a wide receiver.
Yes, in case your quarterback gets hurt.
In case your quarterback
then
gets
what do
hurt,
you do?
Then you're stuck with a freshman.
This team still has lofty goals, at least, you know, speaking about trying to get back and play Oklahoma in a rematch and finish the deal and not, you know, blow a lead and all that, but they got to get there. And we'll hear from Coach Sark here coming up in our coach's corner. Speaking of high school football, we're Sark and A.J. Milwee were in New Orleans. This is a big recruiting weekend, but there were games last night. Props to Westlake High School, Buck. They beat Hayes 77-0 last night. They won 30 in a row. Cade Klubnik did not play in that game. He's injured, but the backup came in, and they destroyed Hayes. Props to them. 30 in a row now for Todd Dodge's squad. Also, Vandergriff with an easy win over Cedar Ridge, 35-7. They're really good for Drew Sanders, and you got a game tonight.
I do.
Lake
yes, I
Travis
do.
University High School.
Yes, we do, against Del Valle.
Okay. Caleb Burton. The youngster is expected to be at the Texas game tomorrow. We'll be playing for Del Valle.
Caleb Burton plays for Lake Travis.
Not Caleb Burton. What's his name? Braylon.
Braylon, yes.
Braylon James?
The big guy. 6'3", will be playing. Get a chance to see him play.
That'll be cool. That all gets going tonight about 6:30. So the high school football props to the winners last night. And before we get into our coach's corner, Buck, let me mention, since we're going to have Joel Klatt coming up and we're guest heavy into the 8 o'clock hour, can we get, because we're going to make our Supreme Lending picks for charity coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with our buddy John McClellan. Let me mention John and his team at Supreme Lending. If you have a mortgage rate that's a little upper threes, even into the fours, get over and see John and his team. They can get you that refi going and absolutely save you a lot of money. Keep your payment right where it's at. But you save you money long-term and short-term. It's absolutely the way to go. They can get that in. Interest rates are still in the high twos now. If you can get there with John McClellan and Supreme Lending. Plus, get that pre-approval letter if you're looking for a home. John and his team will get you the mortgage you need. And it gives you that Supreme Lending edge. Call them 512-361-4717. That's John McClellan and his team at Supreme Lending. And with that in mind, Buck, can you give us your three gold star picks?
Gold star. Okay, gold star.
We'll reset them, but I need these early. I need to know who you're, because you're now you're trying to claw your way back to 500. You're at 8-11.
8-10.
8-10.
Yes.
Through your first 18 picks of the year. These are against the spread.
Against the spread.
Who are your favorite three picks of the weekend?
I'm going to go a 5,000 unit play on Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Yes.
Rebels with Matt Corral. They're coming off the unbelievable game with Arkansas last week.
Yeah, they'll be able to score enough. And then I'm going a 5,000-unit play on the Buffaloes of Colorado.
The Buffs? Cole Klatt's coming on in 30 minutes. He's going to love that.
Yeah, he's going to love that. But my 10,000-unit play, Sic'em Bears. Go Baylor right down in Waco over BYU by a touchdown at least. Yes.
BYU was a top 10 team a week ago.
Yeah, they lost. I watched them play against Boise. They were nothing. Now they're coming to Waco. They're coming down to the Bears.
The battle of the Latter-day Saints and the Baptists.
Yeah, the Bears are on a little bit of a roll right now. They think they got it going on right now. So plus their defense is playing outrageous. So
let me get this. You got Colorado.
Yep.
The Buffaloes.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they playing?
Washington State or somebody like that, probably.
Okay, Pac-12 action.
Pac-12 action, yes.
You've got the Baylor Bears, and you've got the Ole Miss Rebels.
Yeah, I'll come out of nowhere for that, yes.
Okay. I like those are your three. We're writing them down.
Yes.
We'll keep score.
I need these three
all
wins.
All favorites?
Yeah, all favorites. You know how I am with that.
I do. Okay. So there's your picks. Write them down, jot them down, and you can take them or go opposite, whichever you choose.
If I were you, I would not go opposite that Baylor pick in Waco.
That's an interesting game. It's a non-conference game, but soon to be a conference game with BYU coming to Waco. And then, obviously Oklahoma's at TCU and Big 12 play Texas and Oklahoma State as part of a big 12 weekend coming tomorrow. With that in mind, let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by AV Consultations Audio. Visual consultations with our friend Tom McKay and his team. Buck, you'll be watching all the games this weekend on the big 85-incher. Quit bragging about that 85-incher.
Yeah, I know, man. It's good stuff.
But you can have one, too.
We got golf, too. There's still golf going on now. This is the new season.
Aren't they playing in Vegas?
Yeah, there's something to Shriners yeah.
Classic? Yeah. All right, so...
George Spieth looks good too early.
Coach's Corner, I saw where Hideki Matsuyama hit the guy in the head. The guy right in the head with a drive.
He did sign a glove to him. Hey, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for the glove that spent the day in the hospital with a gash in my noggin. That was cool. But that's the risk you take going to a golf tournament like that.
It is.
All right, Steve Sarkisian, Buck, in our coach's corner, talking about the defense. That has been the topic all week long. As you said, the defense is 109th in college football, 106, whatever it
106.
Is. 106. Coughed up the lead on Saturday at the Cotton Bowl. Here's Sark on trying to fix the defensive problems.
Well, I mean, as always, and we do it every week, but I mean, tackling's paramount. Our ability to get people on the ground at the end of the day is critical, just as it is offensively, our ability to break tackles, whether it's a running back, wide receiver, or tight end. So definitely a lot of emphasis there. Clearly emphasis on the 50-50 balls, that are thrown up down the field, mostly in particular, you get in a third and long scenario, they can't catch it. Whatever you got to do, they can't catch it. Those are two big things. And then ultimately, containing the quarterback, our ability to collapse the pocket and not allow the escape lanes for the quarterback, because that's going to come up again this week. Their quarterback does a heck of a job of extending those plays. And the plays that really hurt us last week the most were the plays that were off schedule. So our command of that needs to be on point.
All right, tackling. So extra work this week on the three or four critical things that hurt them this past week.
Yeah, they ducked their head a lot. A lot of those missed tackles. Some of them were the old shoulder, the shoulder hits where they think that these guys aren't going to bounce off. The running back bounced off of a shoulder by a DB like it was nothing, like he's going through like crap through a goose. It was nothing. Didn't even knock him off stride. And a lot of head ducking last week, where the guys just kind of faint and their heads hit the ground first. Yeah, you can't have that. You can't have that against good running backs. And you got to keep your eyes up and you got to make those plays. It's tough, man. It's tough wanting to stick your face in there and bow up and make those tackles and make a good form tackle without going helmet to helmet. All the things that football has now changed, you got to continue to work at it. But one thing you can't do because you're really going to hurt yourself anyway, if you keep ducking your head down where you don't see the target, that's where you really get into a problem in a lot of ways, physically and trying to stop a really good runner. And you watch, and the thing about watching Bijan run, which is cool, you can have your head up on him and he'll take his stiff arm and turn your helmet sideways and all you do is grab. I mean, you're grabbing for, I don't know, towels, nuts, and everything, anything you can when when he does that stiff arm and your head goes sideways, when a defender reaches out, he's reaching out for all kinds of stuff. Then he's great at that. He's fantastic. And some of these other running backs, too. Deuce on the loose is one of those guys that uses a great stiff arm. So a lot of good runners. So you got to come to tackle. And they're going to test Texas. Everybody, as we've seen the last couple years, it's not just this year. They always come to see if the Longhorns physically are ready to play.
That'll be 11 o'clock tomorrow. And, it's hard to say which was the biggest missed tackle. I still think the biggest play of that game Saturday was the Jerrion Thompson missed tackle on fourth and a foot in the first half. It was way back in the first half. If he makes that tackle, that
wasn't off schedule. That's just a missed tackle.
If he makes that tackle, and, you know, people will question Pete Kwiatkowski because they had 10 in the box and they were determined to stop that. So if he gets by, there's nobody behind him.
Yes.
But if Thompson makes that tackle, they're short of the first down.
Yeah.
And the Texas is taking over the ball at the 33-yard line in a 28-7 lead already.
Yeah, you're not getting those tackles back from last week. I'm sorry.
That
whole off-schedule thing that Sark keeps saying, football is about being off-schedule. Make the plays, the tackles. Yeah.
That was just a basic quarterback run.
That's what I'm saying. That wasn't off schedule. The two counters for the house, those weren't off schedule.
Those are
just missed tackles, coach. This whole talk about off schedule, football probably is 60% of off schedule plays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that was more, Lincoln Riley rolling the dice there. But you get that stop, you make that tackle. Because, defensively, they called the right thing. They had a guy in the hole. He's ready to make the tackle.
Call not making the play.
Penetration and didn't finish the tackle. Get the guy to the ground. If he does, gosh, the blowout would have been on, I think, at that point. Is Texas already up 21. Yeah, either way, a lot of missed tackles.
And that's what they can't. You and I can go over this. That's what can't be on their mind. And that will come into play in a few kids' minds.
That's right.
They'll look up at the quarter and say, you know what, just last week we were right here. Do you know what we were up?
Yeah.
What do I have to do? Well, if you're going to think that way, go ahead. But what are you going to do about it? You know what I'm saying?
Extra work on the tackling drills this week. How about Steve Sarkisian on stepping in for Jordan Whittington? Obviously, Whittington in the second half of that game breaking his clavicle collarbone situation, had surgery, likely out a couple of months now. Here is Sark on who this week and moving forward steps in for number four.
Well, I think it's a little bit, I don't want to call it by committee, but I think it creates opportunities for people. I think the natural thing is Marcus Washington kind of slides into that spot. You still have X and Josh Moore, and then it's a great opportunity for Calvante Dixon, not to mention, Woodard and Kai Money. So great opportunities at that spot. Looking forward to seeing the guys step up, and that's the beauty of having a week of work to prepare. Sometimes when things happen in game, some people can get caught off guard. But in this scenario, I think guys are really wired into the plan. And expect him to play well.
Did you hear that name?
Kai Money. Yeah, I heard
Kai
Money.
Did you hear that name? Did you hear it? He said Kai Money.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Kai Money Bags.
Okay. All right.
Can we hear from Sark one more on our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. The O-line shakeup. Of course, with the injury to Denzel Okafor, they tried Andre Carrick at right tackle with Derek Kerstetter to guard. This week, Kerstetter will kick back out to right tackle with Tope Amade getting a start on the interior. Here's Sark.
I think they responded really well. Obviously Kerstetter, I think there's a little bit of more of a comfort zone for him being at right tackle. It's a great opportunity for Tope and for Hayden to work in there at right guard. I think Tope is, he's kind of earned his time. He's put in a lot of time and worked at it. He's a big physical player. I'm excited to watch him and what he can do. And obviously Hayden, a young player. And I think competition is good for us at left tackle. I think competition generally brings out the best in all of us. So I think it'll be good for Christian and Andre as well at left tackle.
Ooh,
basically, we don't have anybody else.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't, the depth chart does have Andre Carrick as a backup, but that sounds like you may see Andre Carrick playing some left tackle if Christian Jones, number 70, struggles tomorrow against his good Oklahoma State defense. And keep in mind, or actually coming up, we'll hear from Sark on that Okie State defense, the film work, and getting ready for the stingy Mike Gundy group. Also, Joel Klatt will join this show coming up at about 7:45. He'll preview the game tomorrow. He'll call the game for Fox TV. We'll have that coming, plus more on the big night in sports last night with the Buccaneers' big win, the Dodgers' big victory. We'll get to all that. It's a busy Friday, Bud Light Football Friday here on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Certainly is Friday on the Horn, Benny, with you. One more day of warm and muggy. in the ATX with temperatures rising into the lower 80s today. But tomorrow, boy, big change with the cold front coming through. Won't even barely get over 70 degrees tomorrow with cool temperatures. It's a pullover kind of day. And we'll be tomorrow at 7 a.m. when we go live with our pregame coverage from Vivo Boulevard in the Texas Tail Garden. Double barrel pregame coverage coming from down on campus. Rod Babers and myself will be over at the Tail Garden, 17th and San Jacinto. Come on over, say hello. Bucky and the crew will be on scene at Vivo Boulevard right outside the stadium on the west side. So go see them as well. And, of course, the game kicks at 11 o'clock. It's Texas and Oklahoma State. In addition to being a big Big 12 contest, it's also, as we've said throughout the week, a pretty major recruiting weekend for the Longhorns. And Arch Manning, one of the key guys and big names that will be there. That will be one of the more coveted players in the class of 2023, or should say the most coveted player in the class of 2023. And it was interesting to see Sark and A.J. Milwee at his game last night to see Isidore Newman High take on St. Charles Catholic. And, you know, the insiders say that Texas has a real shot with Arch Manning, that it's really a three-program race for him. Georgia, Alabama, and at Texas are the three leaders for the number one player in 2023. And there were, you know, a lot of people talking about the rapport and the relationship that Sark has already built with Arch and the family. Of course, that started back when he was still the coordinator at Alabama. But they really like Sark, likes the offense that he runs. And so there's a shot. So Arch will be here tomorrow.
Good, man.
A bunch of recruits. Bunch of recruits in town this weekend.
A lot of good recruits, too.
Yeah, a lot of key guys. And Arch's season is one of those, you know, program-type changing recruits. And, you know, watching him play, really good, really good-looking kid. 6'4", 220. I mean, he'll, you know, he's got the quick release.
You know when I'm going to be excited?
What's that?
When he's here.
Yeah, for sure. But you got to recruit him before you can get him. But we'll keep an eye on that as the Longhorns. Point to that would be, hey, get in your seats, be there early, make it.
Did it last time.
They certainly did for Texas Tech. Make it a full house on a beautiful morning. This should be one of those mornings where you're running to your tailgate. It's going to feel so good outside.
Absolutely. I mean, they did it last time. They were here, and it was awful lot of fun, and you could just feel the vibe. And I think still feel the vibe after last week. You got teased a little last week, but once again, we're still watching a team. Be careful with your expectations. Just really, really be careful with it. There's a sense of when I listen to fans that they have a lot of faith in what coach is doing and the way he's handling things. So now it's about getting those players that you're talking about, Ian, recruiting the right type of players where the next guy up is really, really a good guy. And the guy that's actually playing is special at a lot of different positions on this football team. It's starting to look like it's going to be that way. But it has to be that way on defense too. You got to get those guys too.
No question, and they got to get
right now. They don't have enough
group,
stars.
They got to get this current group playing at a higher level on that side of the ball,
for sure.
And here is Sark talking about this Oklahoma State defense. The challenge it will be. They're allowing under 20 points a game so far this season. They like to play those low scoring, tough games. What did I hear Kevin Dunn say yesterday? They're the Iowa of the Big 12 right now, which is kind of true. They like to keep it low scoring and play good defense. Here is Sark on what they've seen on film.
Well, I think a couple things jump out to me. The more I've watched them throughout the week, first of all, recognizing this is a really veteran defense. I mean, they're seniors across the board, which means A, they've been in a college weight room program for 4 and 5 years. So they're a bigger physical team. They're more mature physically and mentally. You can tell they've been in the system. They communicate really well with one another. And then ultimately they make you earn it. They really don't give you freebies. They don't blow coverages. They don't, they're not out of a gap or, you know, blowing an assignment. They make you earn it. And then they play really, really hard. They've got a really cool culture going, on their team right now where they play hard. They're a physical team on offense. They're a physical team on defense, and they make you earn it. And so That's the biggest thing I see when you watch them. It's like, man, they're in the right spots. They're a veteran team. They communicate well. They play hard, and they make you earn it. And so those are the main things that jump out to me.
All right. And the key cog is a couple times this year he's been the defensive player of the week in the Big 12. That's Malcolm Rodriguez, the redshirt senior. Plays a
linebacker. I just call him Malcolm.
Yeah, let's do that from here on out.
Yes, I just call him Malcolm. Yeah.
Lucky said about three
Malcolm,
or four different names for him this
Malcolm
week.
Malcolm in the middle.
We're calling Malcolm in the middle.
Yeah.
Bucky, where's number Where's number 20? Number 20 in your program, number one in your heart.
That dude's been around for a while.
Malcolm in the middle is a key guy to watch for, and that'll be a good assignment with he and Bijan Robinson. We'll talk to Joel Klatt coming up in about 10 minutes or so. He's seen the film. He's watched this Oklahoma State team.
Better strap it up with Malcolm in the middle when he blitzes, too, because he's half linebacker, half, you know, strong safety.
Well, that becomes
maneuver
huge,
around,
right?
Yes.
That's one thing they do a lot at Oklahoma State is they blitz the linebackers. Devin Harper is the other guy, and they'll bring them together. I mean, they'll double blitz those guys right at your point of attack.
Double draw their ass.
You know, but you can gut that if you can get some things to the perimeter and predict when that's coming, get ahead of that. And obviously, Casey Thompson's going to have to continue, you know, his good play because he was great last week against Oklahoma. That's got to continue because I don't think there's any doubt that they are going to game plan to do everything they can do to contain Bijan Robinson and force the passing game, especially without Jordan Whittington.
Yeah, that's everybody's number one choice sure. is to stop number five, yes.
You have to. But, you know, last week at least and been building a big lead, Texas was able to take advantage of that with a lot of, you know, heavy box coverage and be able to create play-action passes, get him down the field to Xavier Worthy and create big plays, Joshua Moore. That's going to have to continue in this game. And that was really one of the bright spots of the game this past week, you know, of all the negatives. The deep ball started to hit home, and Casey Thompson threw some beautiful throws in that game, and that has to continue tomorrow. Could be a breezy day, too, by the way, in addition to the colder temperatures. Wind could be up and maybe play a factor in the special teams and maybe the passing game a little bit. So we'll keep an eye on that as part of a big day of college football and a big day in the pros.
Yeah, if you can stop that run, if you can keep them behind the chains, then Spencer has to throw the ball. And if that breeze is going up, that guy has a tendency to be high when he throws.
Yes.
Hey, look what I found coming over the top of the receiver and right into my arms. Because believe me, Texas safeties will be deep. they will be as soon as that ball snapped. They're like on a dead sprint backwards to keep things in front of them. As we say, it's all about PK. What's PK going to do? I got enough faith in the offense that they can score some points. What is this defensive coordinator who, once again, is ranked 106? That's just a stat. People like stats sometimes. There is one. What is he going to do tomorrow? What's he got? I mean, you don't change the players out. We always say that. You don't get a chance to change the players. So those same guys that were head-ducking last week, now, what do they do? What can you do to help them, you know, as a coach?
Agreed. And that becomes the game of chess they will play tomorrow. And Spencer Sanders, and we've talked about, is a quarterback who will make some big plays but also make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. He's got four picks on the year. And
if that guy throws you two picks tomorrow, you should win the game.
Agreed. And you got to force that, though, and he'll do it. He's careless with the ball. It's one of the reasons they're running the ball so much. I mentioned Jaylen Warren, their running back, 95 carries last three games. I mean, they're saddling this thing up, and they're getting after it. Buck, how about this? You've been around coaching a long time. You were a coach. You ever heard this one before? The old, you know, coaches like their little phrases.
Yes.
Their phrasing. One of the bigger games of the football weekend on a Bud Light Football Friday are the Chargers at the Ravens, L.A. at Baltimore. Good game, Lamar Jackson versus the ultra-impressive Justin Herbert. How about this? The defensive coordinator in Baltimore is a guy named Wink Martindale.
Yep.
Wink. He had this one. He said, Justin Herbert is one of those guys that could throw a strawberry through a battleship.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Never heard that one.
You ever heard that one before?
No.
Throw a strawberry through a battleship?
The hell did he get that one from?
I don't know.
I always like the one that he's hotter than a depot stove.
Yes.
Or mine is, you can talk a hungry dog off a meat wagon.
That's true. I like that one, too.
That was Mac Brown.
Well, that's what Sark's trying to be with these recruits coming to town, talking hungry dogs off a meat wagon. But, yeah, I had not heard that one. Throw a strawberry through a battleship.
I've never heard of that one. He must have stayed up late for that one.
I mean, he good.
That was after a few cocktails. That's what that one. That was, he had a strawberry daiquiri or something.
This was after practice.
Was?
Unless he was having cocktails at the practice. Yeah. Wink Martindale.
That's a good one.
Fun game. And, of course, Lamar Jackson coming off.
Oh, Zay, I bet you your dad has some that you probably go, huh? I know somewhere down deep you can remember back to your dad saying something. You're probably going, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, he has thousands.
Thousands of coachisms.
Wow. Well, they never go away, by the way. They use them in the house and their family, too, which is really cool. Oh, really?
Zay, were you a good free throw shooter?
Yeah.
Son of a coach, good free throw shooter? Okay, good. I was wondering. What was your career free throw percentage at Bowie High School?
I'll probably say 78.
Man, I was in the 60s. That was horrifying. I was a clunk champ. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Foul that dude. Get him. Catch him and foul him.
You know why? Because you weren't the son of a coach.
Well, my dad coached middle school. Not middle school. What is it? Seventh grade. That's middle school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He always had that line of, I'll stick my foot all the way up to the knee on you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, I got that. I got that, Dad.
There we go.
You're not going to just kick me in the butt. You're going to break your knee in there?
Break it off in there.
Break it off in there. All of it in there.
I missed huge clutch free throws my sophomore year against Austin High, and CC said, can't miss those. We were in the gym next day. I shot about 500 free throws.
Son of a coach. I love it. Hey, we'll be back when we do. Thrilled to bring Joel Klatt to the program to preview the game tomorrow. Of course, he's the lead Fox analyst, along with Gus Johnson. They'll be calling the game tomorrow. We'll get Joel Klatt coming next here on B&E. Certainly is. B&E with you on a Bud Light Football Friday, and a fairly large game tomorrow. Longhorns hosting the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and it is the Fox Big Noon kickoff game of the week. The Fox crew will be on site along with our next guest who joins us on the Vaqueros Hotline. He is the lead analyst on Fox along with Gus Johnson, former Colorado quarterback and doing a great job, one of the best in the business. He is Joel Klatt giving us a few minutes. Joel, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. How long have you been in Austin? Have you been here a couple days or just getting in here?
Just got in kind of late last night. Went up and hit some Eddie V's here downtown,
nice.
Which was delicious. So, now looking forward to getting over to the school and meeting the team today.
It'll be interesting. And I know, let me ask you this. I know you haven't been over there to talk to Sark and the coaches yet, but I know you were, going back to when he was hired, I know you were a fan of the hire of Steve Sarkisian to Texas and coming from Alabama. You covered him when he was at USC and his time there. What's your overall impression so far of what you've seen results-wise from what Sark's doing here in Austin?
Well, I think he's on the right track. They've got to get better on the defensive side, but I think that he's got the right mindset in that he understands that the missing ingredient here at Texas has been the lack of development. They've had talented players, and in particular, highly recruited players. Tom had great recruiting classes, and they haven't played to that level. Although you can make an argument, they were probably, I don't know, 3-4 snaps of the football away from being an undefeated team last year. But they were probably 3 or 4 snaps away from being a 5-5 team last year as well. So, you know, I think it could have gone either way. But the development side and piece of it is something that he's talked about at length. And he got a unique understanding there at Alabama, being an assistant under Nick Saban, of what it means to not only recruit at the highest level, but then to also develop at the highest level. Because I think that's one of the things that Alabama does the best that maybe they don't get the credit for, is everyone just thinks that these players come in and, oh, they're so talented, and look at them go. When in reality, the ability to create competition and development within the organization is what allows those players to be so good when they're in their third and fourth year. And that's been the missing link here at Texas, at least in my estimation. So his focus on that, I think, is in the right spot. I am a big fan of the hire. He's a guy I was trying to, I was seeing him at many different places, and this is certainly a good landing spot for him.
You know, Joel, throughout college football, the NFL also, you being a quarterback, you're getting an understanding of that too. A lot of defenses are starting to just back up. You know, we talk about this every week. We'll let the officials go ahead and call a holding penalty and get you off the chains and everything else. Football seems to be that position of quarterback now. It's not always about the big gun. It's about understanding the schemes, the patience that you have to have at the quarterback positions. And if you're struggling with your quarterback, boy, it seems like you're not going to win. You got to have a solid guy who understands what he's looking to do and not always throw it long and not always to break out of the pocket and throw the ball in. Casey Thompson has been just that for the Longhorns. They've been very fortunate that this kid is playing right now. He seems to understand what Sark is looking for sure.
You can tell he prepares so well when you watch him on tape, because the reason I say that is that you can tell how he moves his eyes with conviction and he understands what he's looking at. A lot of times you'll see a quarterback and they kind of have, like, you can tell it's this moment of processing post-snap, and they don't exactly know where they're looking, and then they get to where they need to be. Whereas Casey understands right away what he's looking at. And you're right, there has been, in particular in the Big 12, this move towards, hey, let's soften up a little bit, play more softer zone and make it tough on teams to just sit there and throw the football down the field. And because of that, you know, I think some defenses are having a lot more success now than they had maybe 3 and 4 years ago. But Casey's done a heck of a job. Remember now, since he came into the lineup, they're averaging over 52 points per game. He has taken that offense to a different level, and I love the way that they operate in tandem. His conviction through preparation, and then also the creative play calling that Steve Sarkisian has of finding ways to create big plays for his quarterback, and also finding ways to get the ball to talented players on the outside and to the running back. I think all of that pays huge dividends, but Casey has come in and done a heck of a job. And I really appreciated watching him on film because you could tell he knew exactly where to go with his eyes.
Yeah, he is a film junkie, there's no doubt, observed by Joel Klatt, who's with us, the lead analyst on Fox. You'll hear him tomorrow and see him tomorrow with Gus Johnson calling the Texas Oak State game. We played yesterday your conversation on your show with Bijan Robinson, and you called him the best running back in the country, and I think you have him as the leader for the Heisman right now. This is a special player, and if defenses want to lay back and play soft, this guy will have a field day on you.
I tell you what, I mean, his talent is immense. There's only a few players a year at most, that make me sit up straight every time they touch the ball. He's one of them. I'm sure Texas fans feel the same way. You just get this sense that if the offensive line were to give him just a little bit of a lane, he's going to exploit it. He's not a huge guy, and yet he's a plus runner in traffic. And by that, I mean that he's always going to, if it's blocked for two, he'll get you three or four. If it's blocked for four, he gets you eight. If it's blocked for eight, he goes the distance. He's a plus runner, even though he's not a big back. He's got the home run ability, his ability to jump cut, his vision, all of it. He can catch it out of the backfield. I do think he's the most dynamic offensive player in the country. In a year in which the best team or most dominant team to this point, Georgia, doesn't have a singular star that is racing away with the Heisman Trophy, we've seen all the other favorites basically take a loss. You know, you could throw Grayson McCall, the quarterback for Coastal, in there. He's having as efficient a year as anybody's had in the history of the sport. Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, maybe he gets a little bit of run. But it's one of these years where Rattler comes in as the odds-on favorite. Now he might not even be the starting quarterback. It's a year in which a running back could win it, and maybe even more importantly for Bijan, is somebody down the list as far as rankings go could win it. So that's why I've got him where I've got him.
You know, when we talk about these defenses playing back a little bit, playing a little bit softer, in a conference like the Big 12, where all of a sudden it used to be about throwing, Joel, now it's they got some great runners. This conference has a slew of really talented runners, Bijan being the best of them. But my goodness, if you're going to open up the floodgates for guys to run the ball and wait for them to fumble or wait for a holding penalty, that gets to be tough on a defense. You know, that bend but don't break stuff, it starts to wear you down in the fourth quarter for some reason. When you don't bow up to people, by the time the fourth quarter rolls around and you've been bending all day long, you start to break. I noticed the teams that play that defense, sort of like Texas, by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, you bend, and you then start to break.
Well, I think that what you're inviting is a increase in volume of snaps that you have to face when you play this style of defense. And Texas played so soft against Oklahoma last week. Those safeties were way deep. They kept trying to play two safeties. They sometimes would bring one down to try to stop the run, but the other one would stay very deep. And because of that, Oklahoma took advantage in the run game. Kennedy Brooks ran for over 200 yards there, and for 339 yards as a team, and had 600 yards of total offense, I believe, snapped it over 80 times. Well, that's not successful defense at all. So, you know, I think it's fascinating to see. And by the way, Oklahoma State's got a great running back, and they are are primed to and ready to hand the football off 40 times if they need to in order to win. This is not Oklahoma State of 2 and 3 and 4 years ago where they're going to just pitch it all around and try to play explosive offense. Their running back is Jaylen Warren. He's a graduate transfer from Utah State, and he is a workhorse, and he's run for over 150 yards per game in the last three games. So this is not going to be an easy test for Texas, and if they want to come out there and play that soft style of defense, it's going to be another long day for them. But again, I think the thing that doesn't get talked about enough is that style of defense, while it has worked at times, I think it's, one, it's better versus a team that's going to try to throw it over 50% of the time. And two, if the other team is committed to the run game, which Oklahoma State will be, what you are inviting is a high-volume snap game. And I don't think anybody thinks that it behooves a defense to be on the field over 80 snaps a game.
Right.
Oklahoma State, the opponent tomorrow, Joel Klatt, our guest. You mentioned Jaylen Warren, number 7, very good player. And then a very good defense for Mike Gundy. They've kind of changed their stripes without a doubt. What have you seen on film that gives Oklahoma State optimism tomorrow?
Yeah, the exact opposite of what we've been talking. They're aggressive. They're aggressive when they need to be. This is one of the best third down defenses in college football over the last couple of years. Led the country in third down defense last year. They're again in the top 15. They're not dominant up front, but they move well. And then they've got a lot of experience. This is a team that's really benefited from the transfer portal and from the fact that we've got super seniors, these COVID seniors this year. Their linebackers are solid, really experienced group of defensive backs that allowed them to do a lot in coverage and still maintain their responsibilities. So this is going to be a huge test for Texas. I think Oklahoma State is way better than people give them credit for.
You know, Sark, going back to Sark, this is a program and a fan base that just kind of chomping at the bits, but they've been very realistic as you go in. You don't see a lot of people all upset. They're not on the boards going nuts about let's go, let's do this. This is a program, as you talk about, once he gets his guys, he understands what he's looking for in players. He's been Alabama. He's been a head coach. He's been up and down in his life. He understands what it's like to have some hard times. Once he gets that type of player in, the one that he really, really wants on offense and defense, I think this thing really gets going. But there are those that still want today. I want it to happen today. I want it to happen this weekend. I think it's a growing process, and I love the growing process of what you see from this guy. How about special teams? This special teams at Texas has been nothing for the last couple of years. It's scary. They'll come and get your punt at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I agree with you. I do think that this place, though, it can turn very quickly.
Yeah.
As you guys know. So, yes, they're still in a honeymoon phase, but he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt much longer. And this is a game at home that, for instance, if you struggle in the same areas game over game, mm-hmm. that's when a fan base starts getting frustrated. So if they struggle stopping the run and they struggle on defense, while the other areas of the team, I agree, are much better, vastly improved offensively, even on the special teams, if they continue to struggle – and show that they're not getting better on defense, the frustration will appear. Let's not make any bones about this. Like, this fan base is going to want it pretty soon. And I think that even the way that they played in the Red River game, I think there's a lot of people around here that probably see themselves as a team that should be back in Dallas for the Big 12 championship game. So that pressure is coming. And I think last week might have been kind of the last hurrah of the honeymoon phase. And now you're going to maybe not have to win every single game, but at least show that you are developing not only players, but schematically to the point that you're improving, in particular on the defensive side.
Agree with that, especially into the bye week. A loss here would sting, and you have to hit on it for 2 weeks and get ready. Texas and Oklahoma State tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Joel, last thing, how much fun is it to work with Gus Johnson? I know you get it each week. The guy is just a blast, and it's got to be fun to sit next to.
Doubt. He gives me goosebumps once a week, and I can tell you, I remember the first time we did a Texas-Cal game 7 years ago. Gerard Hurd was the quarterback. Charlie Strong was the coach. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff was the quarterback for Cal, and Hurd ran a little quarterback draw for a touchdown late in the game. It was the first time I was sitting in the booth with him where he went full Gus, and so I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for this booth. because I got to experience that for the first time as his partner. And I still pinch myself to this day every time I get to be in there and listen to one of his big calls.
Well, it's a blast to watch and listen to, and it's a great crew. I love it on Saturdays with Fox. Joel, thanks a lot. Appreciate you, and enjoy your time in Austin. Hopefully we can catch up down the road.
Thank you, Joel.
You bet. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Joel Klatt did a little Eddie V's last night, which is good. That's the way to roll. Little Eddie V's, and then roll into the game today. He'll be over at UT. And, of course, Fox will get going tomorrow morning. We'll get going at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning from Vivo Boulevard in Texas Tail Garden. We're up against the break. We'll come back, take your thoughts on that. Also, more guests to come. And Lee Sterling makes picks at 8:30. We're loaded on this Friday morning.